ISIS is said to have dedicated training camps in Syria, Iraq, and possibly a number of former Soviet states, in which jihadists are given special training for attacks in Europe. According to one source in the security services, they are trained in combat technique, as well as surveillance and how to handle explosives. Previously, many attackers only received a few weeks' training. The strategy has changed now. Special units have been set up. Training lasts longer now, the source reports. Panorama, the BBC's investigative news programme, claims that ISIS has a network consisting of a total of 1,500 recruits trained in terrorism, who could be planning new attacks in Europe, according to Swedish radio. Omni News Service, the 23rd of March, 2016. 2 years earlier. Vanessa knew from the start that it had been a mistake. A mistake to get involved, to install false hope by agreeing to become a mentor. All because she just couldn't stand the restlessness of not having a task, a purpose. At first, the idea had seemed good, noble even, to spend her suspension from the police, caused by a DUI, by volunteering at a shelter for unaccompanied refugee children and focusing on teaching the girls self-defence. But she should have known as soon as she met Natasha that she wouldn't be able to just be a mentor to her without becoming emotionally invested in her life. Not when she heard Natasha's story and felt fully present in the moment for the first time in what felt like forever. When she spoke to Natasha, Vanessa didn't once think about Adeline, the baby girl she had lost to illness some years ago, and who usually occupied her mind every waking moment. Natasha had fled to Sweden from Syria on foot a few years earlier, after losing her entire family in a bomb attack. But despite all the tragedies she had already had to endure in her 14-year-old life, despite losing everything, Natasha still had a positive outlook on life. On one of the first occasions they met at the shelter, Natasha told Vanessa that she had to be happy, had to make the most of her life, had to enjoy it all. Because if she didn't, what was it all for? Then she might as well have died together with her family. But she didn't. And that meant Natasha had to cherish her chance of being alive in every way. Vanessa admired her attitude and strength, and made the mistake of thinking that she could somehow help her, this teenage war refugee. Despite the fact that she had proved previously that she was unable to take care of anyone, especially a child. She was destructive and unreliable, and she should have stayed away from Natasha. But she didn't. Instead, she reached out to Natasha to fill her own sense of emptiness, to give her company. And it had eventually resulted in the young girl going missing. One day she left the shelter with a friend and didn't return. The employees at the shelter simply seemed to think she had left voluntarily. But Vanessa knew better. It didn't make sense. She had a Swedish residence permit and she loved living here. But the alternative, that someone had abducted her, also seemed unrealistic. Who would do it, and why? It didn't matter that Vanessa simultaneously learned that she was allowed to return to the police again. She couldn't do it before she had found Natasha. She started her own investigation into her disappearance, and it finally led her to the conclusion that Natasha had been kidnapped by the Swedish drug gang, the Legion, and brought to a clinic in Chile, along with several other unaccompanied refugee children, where criminals were waiting to steal their organs and sell them to their rich clients. Vanessa had no choice but to head to Chile and try to save Natasha. And with Nicolas's help, she succeeded and brought Natasha to safety. Once back in Sweden, they decided that Natasha would move in with Vanessa and that she would become her legal guardian. A decision that made Vanessa very happy. But the happiness was short-lived. Just a few months after the events in Chile, Natasha learned that her father had survived the war.